Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Chapter 13, Lessons Learned. The Learning Institute for the Very Enlightened was unlike other schools. For one thing, the cafeteria food smelled good and tasted even better. Beyond that, there were no textbooks, no field trips, no report cards, no roll call. If you were missing, an executive came to find you. No rickety film projectors. No lockers, no team sports, no library, and weirdly enough, no mirrors to be found anywhere. Nor was there any separation between beginning and advanced students. Class groups were assigned at random, regardless of age or accomplishment, and everyone in that group sat in the same classrooms together, learning the same lessons. The lessons had been designed by Mr. Curtin himself. And when all of them had been gotten through, they were repeated from the beginning. Thus, all the lessons were eventually reviewed many times, and the students who learned them best became messengers. None of this was familiar to the members of the Mysterious Benedict Society, and yet, in certain ways, the Institute did remind them of other schools. Rote memorization of lessons was discouraged but required. Class participation was encouraged, but rarely permitted. And although quizzes were given every day in every class, there was always at least one student who groaned, another who acted surprised, and another who begged the teacher in vain not to give it. "Time's up," SQ Pedalion called out during the morning class one day. "Pass me your quizzes, everyone, and no dallying, please. A stitch in time saves time, you know." 9, corrected a messenger in the middle row. Rainey recognized her from his other classes. A tall, athletic teenager with piercing eyes and raven black hair, she was much older and bolder than most of the students and had a reputation as the leader among messengers. Her name was Martina Crow.
9 stitches? SQ said.
"No, Martina. I'm certain it's just one stitch."
"No. A stitch in time saves 9, Martina scoffed.
"Exactly," SQ replied.
With the quizzes all collected, the room fell silent as SQ went through the pages, marking grades in his book. It was the hourly ritual. In every class, an executive first presented the day's material, then the material was reviewed, and sometimes the review was reviewed, and then the students were given a quiz over the previous day's lesson. If the material weren't so strange, no doubt it would have been easily mastered. Today, the Mysterious Benedict Society's third full day of classes, SQ's lesson had been called Personal Hygiene, Unavoidable Dangers and What Must Be Done to Avoid Them. Like all the lessons at the Institute, this one was a barrage of details, pages and pages worth. But the gist was that sickness, like a hungry predator, lurked in every nook and cranny. Every touchable surface was a disease waiting to happen. Every speck of dust, an allergen, poised to swell your nose and clog your ducts. Every toothbrush bristle, a bacterial playground. On and on it went. And all of it was greatly exaggerated, Rainey thought, though not entirely untrue. What made the lesson so confusing was the logical conclusion SQ said must be drawn. Because it was impossible, in the end, to protect yourself from anything, no matter how hard you tried, it was important to try as hard as you could to protect yourself from everything. There was some kind of truth hidden in there, Rainey thought, but it was camouflaged with nonsense. No wonder it gave students trouble. Luckily, he and Sticky had been making perfect scores. To confirm this, Rainey glanced over at his friend, who gave a small nod and a thumbs up. Probably wasn't even difficult for him. Sticky remembered everything he laid eyes on. So far, so good. Rainey twisted in his seat to look at Kate. She puffed her cheeks, crossed her eyes, and put her hands to her head, as if she thought it might pop. Not good. Rainey decided not to look at Constance. His optimism had been spoiled enough. The other students sat mostly in stupors, worn out from the class, or else were scouring their notes in hopes of discovering if they'd done better than they thought. The messengers, though, there were four in the class, wearing their snappy white tunics and blue sashes, were indulging in a peculiar habit Rainey had noticed. Every few moments, one of them would glance at the door, eyes focused with keen expectation. Martina Crow was especially fixated. They were waiting to be called out by an executive, called away for their secret privileges. And whenever an executive did appear in the doorway, as Jackson did now, every messenger in the room stiffened with anticipation.
SQ, Jackson announced. I need Corliss Stanton and Sylvie Biggs.
The messengers in question leaped from their desks, hastily gathering their things. With beaming faces and nary a backward glance, they followed Jackson out. Martina Crow stared hungrily after them.
For the newcomers among us, SQ said, let me remind you that you too could be privy to the special privileges enjoyed by our messengers. Study hard, especially you brand new recruits. You are doing very well, by the way. Rosie Gardner, Eustace Crust, very well done. You each got several answers correct. Keep up the good work.
He smiled encouragingly toward the back of the room and returned to his grading. Rainey turned in his seat to see whom SQ was speaking to, and then he could hardly stop staring. New recruits, SQ had called them, and indeed, these were the two whose dazed expressions had caught Rainey's attention the first day. The bell-shaped girl and the wiry boy he'd suspected of being kidnapped. They scarcely seemed the same children now. Their looks of sleepy confusion had disappeared, replaced by a look of purpose, even of pleasure, in their eyes. These were not the expressions of children who had been kidnapped and secreted away against their will. But then, why had they been escorted by recruiters? And why else would they be called recruits? Rainey suspected himself of leaping to conclusions. He used to think he was good at understanding people. Miss Perumal had told him so more than once. But these kids were a mystery to him. Somehow he was getting it all wrong. He had to be. And speaking of getting it wrong, Rainey's eyes now fell on Constance, sound asleep with her face on her desk. Rainey felt suddenly depressed. He needed to stop turning around. SQ finished grading the quizzes and stacked the papers on the edge of his desk.
Okay, everyone, class dismissed. You may check your quizzes as you leave. And someone had better wake Miss Contraire. I'm fairly certain she's alive. I saw her twitch. Reynard Muldoon and George Washington, please stay after class. I need to speak with you.
Rainey's throat tightened, and he glanced at Sticky, who looked as if he'd been stung by a hornet. Were they suspected of something? As the others filed out of the classroom, Kate gave the boys a meaningful look. Good luck, her eyes said. Constance stumbled blearily past without looking at them, and then the two boys started up to SQ's desk. Their path was suddenly cut off by Martina Crow, who fixed them with a stare of barely contained fury. Startled, the boys stepped back, as if they'd come upon a rattlesnake.
That's right, Martina hissed. Step back.
She glared at them, radiating menace. Rainey wondered what to do. Should he ask her what was wrong? Would this encourage her to attack?
Martina, SQ said from his desk, do you need something?
I know why you want to speak with them, Martina said, not taking her eyes from the boys' alarmed faces.
Good for you. Now I do need to speak with them, so please excuse us.
I'll go, Martina said, but not far. She leaned toward the boys and whispered, do you hear me? Not far.
Certainly not far enough, Rainey thought, as she stalked from the room.
Why was she so angry? Did she suspect them of something too? Trembling now, the boys approached the desk. SQ looked grave.
I'm afraid you two are in hot water.
But why?
asked Rainey. Sticky wobbled as if he might fall down.
You have Martina on edge, that's why. Frankly, fellows, I'm simply astonished. Or rather, I should say, astounded.
No, that's not quite right. Astonished? Rainey prompted. Astounded?
SQ nodded. Those two. Furthermore, I'm amazed. How are you boys doing so well on your quizzes? You're making perfect scores. I think Martina overheard me talking about it with another executive.
That's why she dislikes you now.
Sticky regained his balance. Rainey's breathing slowed. They weren't in trouble after all. Except, for some reason, with Martina Crow.
SQ gave them an appraising look.
How do you explain your grades? It's unlikely anyone is helping you. You're brand new, and other students naturally shun new kids, so they wouldn't be helping you.
I remember things, said Sticky simply.
I try hard, said Rainey.
SQ looked as if this was just what he'd suspected.
Rememberingness and effortfulness, both fine qualities. It seems you two have an abundant supply. I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you to keep it up.
Like you, Stace and Rosie? Rainey asked.
Oh, those two? They're a different case, boys. They're special recruits. Special recruits get extra attention in the early days by order of Mr. Curtin. They're a little slow to come around, and they need encouragement. But you watch. One day they'll be top students. Special recruits often end up as messengers, and many become executives. Take Jackson and Jilson, for example. They were special recruits themselves.
What makes special recruits so special? Sticky asked. He almost sounded jealous.
SQ seemed troubled by this question. Well, as for that, I can't really say, here nor there. All you need to know is, well, you don't need to know anything, except for the material, that is. Obviously, you must know that. And how to... Actually, I suppose there are many things you should know, but...
He checked himself, cleared his throat, and said, just work hard, boys, and you'll have nothing to worry about.
Except Martina, said Rainey. She looked like she wanted to throttle us.
SQ laughed.
She probably does. You're showing her up. Perfect quiz scores are extremely rare. If you boys continue like this, you'll be messengers in no time. And so naturally the messengers hate you. There's a limited number of messengers, you see, and no guarantee that any will stay a messenger. Have a bad week on your quizzes, and another student might take your spot.
Does that happen often? Rainey asked.
Hardly ever, SQ said. Messengers can't bear to lose their special privileges. I remember how awful I felt whenever I had to turn in my sash and tunic. Happened to me several times. But eventually I got all the lessons down like butter. Like a pat of butter. Got them down pat. And never lost my position again. Until I was made executive, that is. Anyway, I suppose to Martina, you seem like a threat. I understand her feeling, though of course there's no call for her to be so cranky about it.
Cranky was hardly the word, Rainey thought. Venomous was more like it. They would have to watch out for Martina Crow.